oil spills earlier in the program and what can be done to, should we report them or should it be required that they are reported to the public? And as we speak about that, this story coming across the Associated Press Wire, Dateline, Bismarck, North Dakota. Federal regulators say a lightning strike may have caused a pipeline rupture that spilled more than 20,000 barrels of oil in northwestern North Dakota. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration said Thursday that a preliminary investigation, quote, points to a strong electrical discharge as the cause of the failure, unquote. So a lightning strike possibly caused the rupture of the oil pipeline in western North Dakota. That is one that I would not have guessed would have caused an oil spill, would be a lightning strike.
That had never occurred to me either, Mike.
Tornado, hurricane, tsunami, yes. Lightning strike, no. Hello, Scott Miller. How are you?
I am doing well. It's nice to talk to you again.
It's nice to talk to you, too. You and I were having a conversation in the hallway earlier today.
Yeah.
And I honestly have no real point to having you on the show today other than I was having fun talking to you. But you and I were talking about the crummiest places we've been on our many travels together over the years. And you've traveled to far more places than I. But when I was trying to think of the worst cities I've been in, I've been to a couple, and a couple with you.
Mm-hmm.
Your worst cities you've ever been in, Scott. Give me a list of two or three.
Boy. You know, you and I were visiting about Cleveland, Mississippi, and at the risk of offending anybody who is from Mississippi, it's not so much that Cleveland, Mississippi was such a bad town, but that was a bad experience. This is the 2000 Division II National Semifinal Football Playoffs. And the Bison were down to play Delta State. Remember, it had been raining all week. The controversy that week was whether or not the Bison should get to host that semifinal round game. And I think at that point, the powers that be in Division II, they were tired of having either NDSU or UND win all the time. And so they let Delta State host, despite the fact that their field was like a bunch of kitty litter. I mean,
yes,
it was just a
swamp.
big mud pit. And then they put a bunch of that stuff down that didn't really do a thing to help the footing. But that was sort of an interesting experience just with Confederate flags flying down in Cleveland, Mississippi. That's one that comes to mind.
Well, yeah, that was not a good experience for me because I got myself in a little bit of trouble with the people of Cleveland, Mississippi with something I wrote in the paper at the time. I may have made a couple of wisecracks about Confederate flags and slack-jawed yokels and things like that, which I probably should not have. I probably should have pulled that one back.
Yeah.
I probably should have hit delete on that one before I sent it, but I did send it. But yeah, no, I was – Mississippi in and of itself is not a nice place in general, I don't think.
No.
And that wasn't a good experience. But the worst for me was Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
I should have brought up first.
Was a pit. It was a hole of humanity is what Pine Bluff, Arkansas was. And that was – that. I think that's still the worst city in which I've been. And now let me qualify that by saying I've not been to downtown Detroit. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to bad areas in New York City. But Pine Bluff, Arkansas was an absolute hole.
Pine Bluff, Arkansas and Gary, Indiana for me
are
co-number ones. The FM Redhawks still play at Gary. And Gary South Shore won the American Association Championship this year, managed by Greg Taggart, who is a great skipper. But that city is tough. It is a rugged place, and you do not want to be venturing outside of that stadium. They've got a beautiful ballpark, but it's right down in the middle of what looks like a war zone. I mean,
you don't take your afternoon walks in Gary, Indiana.
That is for sure. Once you get to the ballpark, you're staying inside the friendly confines of the ballpark, because if you wander out, we really haven't been warned about that lately, but I think it's just implied that when you go there...
You have two eyes that work, so they figure, we don't have to tell these guys.
They say, whatever you do, don't go out once it's dark, but don't even venture a couple of blocks outside of the ballpark. You drive downtown, we're in the bus, and we're on the way to the stadium, and you see buildings with all the windows broken out and graffiti on them, and it's just a very dangerous place to be. But at Pine Bluff, Arkansas, that was just a terrible experience, and I can't believe that the NCAA ever really allowed Pine Bluff to host, because we were there, you and I were both there, covering the Bison women's basketball team at the NCAA Division II Elite Eight tournament. And were we there once or twice?
I was just there once.
Yeah, just
NSU
the once.
NSU made the Final Four, whatever the women's Elite Eight.
Yeah, Elite Eight, and went all the way to the national championship game the one year I remember being down there.
Yes.
But here's the way it was. All of the teams and their coaches and players were instructed, don't leave the hotel.
Don't go outside.
It was a convention center so that the arena was all part of the hotel. They said, yeah, don't go outside the hotel. So that's what you're looking for. If you're the Pine Bluff Chamber of Commerce, you certainly want to have all of these teams come from across the country and then have them stay in the hotel the whole time.
Don't go anywhere. You'll be shot right in the head.
And you've got a great story about Torrey Hunter, the former twin.
Former twin center fielder Torrey Hunter is from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And somebody asked him about his hometown once, and Torrey said, I call Pine Bluff Pine Box. And he said, because all you want to do if you're growing up in Pine Bluff is get out of there without leaving in a pine box.
Yeah.
That's not good. I didn't say that about Carlos, Minnesota. I had no problem with Alexandria.
No. And growing up in Minot, North Dakota, we never said that about Minot.
Some parts of it, though. Youngstown, Ohio, by the way, where NDSU's football team is going to play in a couple weeks.
Yep.
That's another, it's not quite as bad, but that's another city that was glorious in the 1950s.
Yeah.
When the steel mills were going great guns and the population was 200,000.
Yep.
Population of Youngstown now, I looked it up the other day, was about 60,000 people. And there's been nothing new built in Youngstown in how long? Because it was a steel mill town.
Right. Well, and that's kind of the same way with Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
In the heyday in the 50s and into the 60s, that was a thriving city. But boy, it went downhill in a hurry. And it seems as though when you go there, honestly, if you haven't been there, it's just in the south side of Chicagoland. And if you drive through downtown Gary, Indiana, it's as though time has stood still in that city. It looks like it must have looked like in the 1960s with the buildings in such great disrepair.
Scott Miller, voice of the Bison, with us. I'll just keep you for a couple more minutes, Scotty. Bison football team not playing this weekend, right? They have an off week. They're getting ready for Illinois State at the
Illinois
Fargo
State,
Dome.
The Redbirds.
What do the Bison do on an off week? Do they practice? Do they get the week off? Are they healing up from injuries? What's happening?
Kind of a combination of all of those things. The Bison did not have an actual practice on Monday. They would have a light practice normally on a game week. So they met as a team Monday evening, and then I did our Bison feedback show with head coach Craig Bull after that meeting. But they were going to practice three nights during the week, including tonight. Tomorrow they are off. And the coaches then will be spreading out and doing some recruiting tomorrow night. And then they'll get together again at least once on the weekend and then back to a normal game week mode on Monday.
Youngstown State is a team that, as the Bison are going to play in a couple of weeks, right? Do they play this weekend? Because Youngstown State, I think, is the only team that can probably knock the Bison out of the Missouri Valley Conference Championship at this point, right?
Yeah, Youngstown State is 7-1. The Bison are 8-0. Youngstown is 4-0 in the Valley, and the Herd is 5-0. Youngstown had last week off, so it had its bye last weekend and will play South Dakota this week. I'll be curious to see how that game plays out because Joel Glenn's team at USD got tripped up last week but has been playing some pretty good football, way better than the team that the Bison just throttled a year ago down in Sioux Falls. Mm-hmm. And so if Youngstown can pick up a win there, then it's going to make for a very interesting matchup against the Bison. That would be November the 16th. And Illinois State is home to Northern Iowa this weekend, and I'll be keeping a very close eye on that game, too, because Northern Iowa has lost three straight overtime games and is now on the brink of being eliminated from playoff contention.
Well, they're 0-4 in the conference, right?
They're 0-4 in the league, right. And for them, it all goes back to that game against North Dakota State at Gate City Bank Field in the Fargo Dome, and they had the Bison down. They were just about to knock him out, but a funny thing happened on the way to the final score, and the Bison came back with that marvelous fourth-quarter rally and won by a point, and UNI hasn't been the same since.
No. Do you see anybody beating NDSU the rest of the way? And I think if you look at the schedule, Illinois State, Youngstown State, South Dakota, two of those games at the Fargo Dome, and really the tough game on the road, which that's not necessarily a bad thing for NDSU. Do you see them losing? Because I look at the schedule, and I just don't see them losing the regular season. Youngstown State might be a fine football team, But I've just seen this NDSU team win way too many games the last 3 years to ever say they're going to lose this, this, or this. And by the way, I've picked against them twice this year. No, haven't lost yet.
Yeah. So. They're 36-2 in the last nearly three regular seasons. 14-1, 14-1, 8-0 so far this year. So to answer your question, no, I don't think the Bison are going to lose a regular season game. That game at Youngstown State is going to be tough. And I think Illinois State is not going to be a pushover either a week from Saturday, because the Redbirds have been playing a lot better here in the last 3 or 4 weeks. They were shaky to start. Their overall record is 4-4, but they're 3-2 in conference play. And especially if they should win over Northern Iowa on Saturday, that'll make for an interesting matchup. But the Bison have won 17 straight games overall. They've won 16 games in a row on the road, Mike. And so until somebody actually steps up and proves that they can beat the Bison, I'm not picking against them.
NDSU likely going to get home field advantage in the playoffs. They only need to be the number one or number two seed overall nationally to get all home games, because one and two will be in different brackets.
Right.
It's looking
right.
Even if they lose to Youngstown State or somebody else, if they lose one game, they're still going to get all home games in the playoffs, aren't they?
I would think so, Mike. I don't know for sure, depending on the loss, I guess. If it were a road loss to Youngstown State, you would think that that would be factored in, that they were playing a team that was battling with them for the Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship, and that would put them in good stead. They've been ranked number one the whole season, and the first weekend in this expanded playoff system, there are 24 teams now into the FCS playoffs, up four from a year ago, and that first weekend would be after Thanksgiving on Saturday, November 30th. I don't think there's any way the Bison play that weekend. Then the second round would be December the 7th. And I think that unless something very odd happens, the Bison will host a game on December the 7th.
Thank you, Scotty.
It is good to be here. Yeah, we'll see you down in Pine Bluff this weekend.
Yeah, I'll meet you in Gary. We'll head to Youngstown from Gary
together.
Scotty Miller, voice of the Bison, here on the Mike McFeely Show.